Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, by the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, the purpose of studying the Vedas is to understand Him, Vedaishcha Sarvarda Hameva Vedya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to Sanatana Goswami that there are three purposes in the Vedas. One is to understand our relationship with Krishna, sambandha. Another is to act according to that relationship, abhidheya. And the third is to reach the ultimate goal, prayojana. The word prayojana means necessities, and the ultimate necessity is explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, prema paramarto mahan. The greatest necessity for a human being is the achievement of love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here we see that Mother Yashoda is on the highest stage of necessity, for she is completely absorbed in love for Krishna. In the beginning, the Vedic purpose is pursued in three ways, trayi, by karma kanda, jnana kanda, and upasana kanda. When one reaches the complete perfect stage of upasana kanda, one comes to worship Narayana, or Lord Vishnu. When Parvati asked Lord Mahadev, Lord Shiva, what is the best method of upasana or worship? Lord Shiva answered, Aradhananam sarvisham Vishnu aradhanam param. Vishnu pasana or Vishnvardhana, worship of Lord Vishnu, is the highest stage of perfection, as realized by Devaki. So I just read the first part of the purport here, a very wonderful purport by Srila Prabhupada, trying to reflect or meditate a little bit upon the last verse of the Dhammadharastaka. That verse, of course, most of you or many of you have seen the commentary of Sri Sanatana Goswami, Digdarshini Tika of the Dhammadharastaka. So there he comments, Namaste Sudamne Spuradipti Damne, that I worship this, first thing he says, I worship this very beautiful effulgent rope, which, according to Sanatana Goswami, is like, from that rope emanates the effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Brahman. And then, Tvadiyo Darayata Vishvasya Damne. And then, I worship that transcendental belly of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, within which all the universes are contained. And then I worship Srimati Radharani. So this is the ascending order of importance, or the ascending order of being glorious. The first glorious thing is the rope. So here in this verse, as we've discussed, Tvaya cha Upanishad. So Srila Prabhupada has broken it down basically in three ways, in two ways of three divisions. Now, first way is that there are the Vedas, then the Upanishads, and then the Pancharatna, or the worship. The first description of how to perform karma kanda, then description of jnana karma, and then the jnana yoga, and then the description of bhakti yoga. Of course, within the jnana yoga, there's the looking for jnana and looking for mystical perfection. And then the highest is worshiping the Supreme Lord according to the Vedic injunctions. No. So I just thought of two verses from Srimad Bhagavatam that emphasize that this is actually the beginning of spiritual life. When you come to the point of worshiping the Lord. Otherwise, all the Vedic knowledge, everything else, which is actually one of the meanings of this particular rope, always being incomplete. Otherwise, you can't, by Upanishadic knowledge, by Vedic knowledge, as Krishna says to Arjuna, Trigunya Vishaya Vedanis Trigunya Baba Arjuna. Arjuna, be very careful with the Vedas because they mostly deal with the three modes of material nature. So, you can't understand Krishna by this. You can't bind Krishna. You can't secure Krishna. You can't be fully Krishna conscious just by these methods, by cultivating jnana or by cultivating karma, by being doing everything very nicely. So, just one verse from the second canto. I won't read the Sanskrit, just a translation. Unless the gross materialist, this is speaking about the progress from the Virat Rupa up to the understanding the Lord as a yogi. Unless the gross materialist develops a sense of loving service under the Supreme Lord, the seer of both the transcendental and material worlds, he should remember or meditate upon the universal form of the Lord at the end of his prescribed duties. So otherwise, it's saying that if you can't understand the Supreme Lord, then you're stuck in karma yoga or jnana yoga. And another verse, one should concentrate his mind upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who alone distributes himself in so many manifestations, just as ordinary persons create thousands of manifestations in dreams. One must concentrate his mind on him, the only all-blissful absolute truth. Otherwise, one will be misled and will cause his own degradation. So otherwise, the Bhagavatam here is saying that if you don't come to this third stage of worshipping Krishna and seeing him as the actual goal, then spiritual life, there is no spiritual life. It's not spiritual. It's just some process of Sankhya Yoga analysis. So what does that all mean? That means that we worship the rope. The rope is worshipable. Why? Because it's being touched by Mother Yashoda. Therefore the rope is worshipable. And because it's touching the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But without bridging the gap of those two fingers, which I'm sure have been amply described in the previous explanations. One of the most important factors in this whole pastime, these two fingers of the devotee. Actually, sometimes we say, first one is the devotee's endeavoring, just like Mother Yashoda endeavored, perspiring, flowers falling from her hair, struggling so hard, looking for all the ropes in Vrindavan. Even when her friends were saying to her that, just give up, Yashoda. Krishna has defeated you. No. Just give up. Stop. You won't be able to do it. Sometimes Maya says that to us. No. You can't do it. No. And so, but her great endeavor, Krishna noticed her endeavor and Kripa, then he gave his mercy. But actually the Kripa comes first. No. Especially in our case. We get the mercy of the Vaishnavas. We get the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then we can endeavor to serve Krishna. Actually, there's one verse spoken by Muchukunda after Krishna has liberated him from his sleeping condition. After Krishna has released him, then he says that after wandering, I can't remember the verse now, but after wandering so many millions and zillions of years throughout the universe, and suffering so much, after you suffer so much, then finally you'll come to the point of being eligible to enter into the contact with the devotees of the Lord, and by their mercy will be able to take up devotional service. But actually, by the Jiva Goswami comments, Srila Prabhupada mentions it, Jiva Goswami comments that this verse is actually in reverse. Because the first thing you have to do, the only possibility to approach Krishna, is to get the mercy of the devotees. Then you can make your endeavor to get out of material existence and worship Krishna. And just like in the fourth verse of this particular prayer of Satyavrata Muni, Idam te vapur nata gopala balam. And he says that the only thing I want is to see this form of Gopal, no, this wonderful childlike form of Gopal. Otherwise, if I don't have that, then even nacha anyam, even any type of blessing, even the nine processes of bhakti yoga, whatever I can receive from those nine processes is of no use to me. So sometimes that sounds pretty, you know, revolutionary, that we're all aspiring for the nine processes of devotional service mentioned by Sri Prahlad Maharaj. And he's saying, this is no use to me. But what does he actually mean? Are we supposed to give up these nine processes and just get a little Gopal, Bala Gopal deity and look at him all day? No. It means that, first of all, it's explained by Sanatana Goswami, that you can't see Krishna with these material eyes, because he's speaking of seeing Krishna, sadame manas, you know, that I just want to see within my mind, and then later on he says with my eyes, ejaksha drishta, that I want to see with my eyes. So Sanatana Goswami explains, he refers to his own work, the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, that actually he could not see Krishna, Nanda Gopa Kumar could not see Krishna until he ascended to the spiritual world, until he came to Vaikuntha. Therefore, there's no question, he's not talking about material eyes. He's talking about seeing him beyond the vision in the mind. Just like when Uddhava is praying to, is glorifying the gopis, he says in those last few prayers where he's just become so overwhelmed by the devotion of the gopis that he prays that let me be a gulya lata oshadinam, no, let me be a creeper or some kind of plant or some kind of herb within the Vrindavan so I can get the dust of their lotus feet on my head. So then he also says that actually the position of these gopis is so special because Brahma and Shiva and Lakshmi, they can see Krishna with the mind. But the gopis, they can embrace Krishna around his neck. They can see him with their eyes. They can touch him. They can feel him. They can perceive him through all of their transcendental senses. Therefore, this vision is a totally spiritual vision. So what he's basically saying is that, first of all, if you don't have that vision, just like Srila Prabhupada mentions here in the purport of Prayojana, if you don't have as your Prayojana, as your ultimate goal, as your ultimate necessity in life, the worship of Krishna, serving Krishna, and pleasing Krishna, then the nine processes of devotional service will simply be a mechanical process. What to speak? Liberation. No. Krishna says in the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam that I can give liberation to anyone very easily. That's not a problem. No. Although certainly it's not so easy. Aruya kutrena param param datha. That even great austerities and penances to get liberation in the Brahman. And to get liberation in the spiritual world, one has to develop spontaneous love of Krishna. So Krishna is speaking about Brahman liberation. I can give that. But to give myself, to the devotees, then that I can't do very, I won't do, because that means they will have control of me. No. I don't want to put myself under the control of someone who is not qualified. Just like us. No. How do we surrender to Krishna? We surrender to Krishna by finding a devotee who inspires us. And when a devotee inspires us, automatically we will follow them. Automatically we will be controlled by them. But if someone tries to control us by rules and regulations, okay, that's, as long as I accept the path of discipline, I can accept rules and regulations and discipline from anyone. But ultimately, who can conquer me? Who can conquer my heart? Only someone who I see as my superior. No? So when Krishna sees Mother Yashoda, this is the purpose of this particular verse. When he sees Mother Yashoda as his superior, he can be conquered by him. When he sees Sridham and Sudham as his equals, who actually defeat him in fighting, then he can be conquered by them. No? And even Krishna can be conquered by the love of those who are his servants, or even by the cows of Vrindavan, or the plants of Vrindavan. No? Just like in the 10th canto, here in the 10th canto, it explains that when Krishna and Balaram are walking through the forest of Vrindavan, then Krishna said, "Just see, Balaram, how these trees laden with fruits are bowing down and offering all of their fruits and flowers to you. Just see how these bees are swarming around your lotus feet, because they must be great sages who in their past lives prayed to you very sincerely, and now they have been elevated to the platform where they can actually take darshan of your lotus feet." So otherwise he's saying, even the acts of those whose predominant nature is Shantaras in the spiritual world can conquer you. So what to speak of Mother Yashoda? So this is the understanding that is given here. This rope is very wonderful, but it actually becomes wonderful. Otherwise, the process of Brahman, realization, cultivation of knowledge, this is all very wonderful if it's connected by surrender and connected by receiving Krishna's mercy. No. Because some people may surrender, but they don't receive Krishna's mercy in the sense that they don't surrender properly. Just like when Gopal Bhatta Goswami came from Varanasi to Jagannath Puri, when he was finally granted the opportunity to be able to associate with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which was his desire throughout his whole life, because he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was a very young boy. And from that point on, just like Raghunath Das Goswami, also, both of them, both of the Raghunaths, when they sought Lord Chaitanya, that's the only thing they wanted to do. So on the way, he met one Brahmana, Ramadas. And this Ramadas was always speaking the name of Ram. And so Gopal Bhatta thought, oh, he must be a great devotee. He's so surrendered to Ram. No. But his surrender was not complete. He begged Gopal Bhatta, "Let me carry your bags." And Gopal Bhatta said, well, he probably didn't have suitcases like us, but a small bag, you know, piece of cloth with some two or three pieces of cloth to wear. Not like us with big suitcases. And, no. But anyway, he said, no, you're a great Brahmana. But somehow or another he carried it. And Gopal Bhatta was thinking he's so humble. So when they arrived and they saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. And then he just looked at the Ramda, like, no. And so Gopal Bhatta couldn't understand. But after some time, this Ramdas came back before the Lord. And he said, please allow me to enter into your effulgence. And so then, no, he surrendered, but his surrender was with incomplete knowledge. No. Of course, Srila Prabhupada said that even the impersonalists, no, Krishna is so merciful that even the impersonalists, they have to worship him to get liberation in Brahman. No, unless they get killed on the battlefield, something like that, by Krishna. Or they happen to die, just Krishna's right there, or his great devotee. Because it's prescribed for them in their process of realization of Brahman that they have to worship the deity. No, they have to worship the deity of Narayana. So ultimately, they do surrender, but not completely and not with the right understanding. No. And actually surrender of the 26 qualities of a Vaishnava, surrender is the Swarup Lakshan. It is the essential quality. The other qualities may or may not be there as a Vaishnava is trying to develop in devotional service. But this Swarup Lakshan, this essential characteristic has to be there. So the surrender of these devotees, whether they be in Dasyaras, Sakyaras, Batsalyaras, or Madhuryaras, because there's no question. If you're in Madhuryaras, you must be surrendered. If you're in Batsalyaras, you must be surrendered. No. In any of these rasas, if you're firmly fixed in this rasa, you must be surrendered. No. And that will actually bring Krishna under control. No. Krishna's under the control. We can see that even of devotees, it's considered by the acharyas that Prahlad Maharaj is, at least when he appears before Lord Nrsimha, when he appears and Lord Nrsimhadeva appears before him, is in Shantaras. No. Although he develops Dasyaras through his prayers. But even the devotee situated like that, the Lord comes to save him. Paritanaya sadhuna. The Lord comes. He's captured, he's controlled by the surrender of his devotee. How Prahlad Maharaj totally depended on him. That dependence is the main theme of this prayer. So then, so in this particular verse, it says, you can go through all these stages, you know, understanding the Vedas, understanding the Upanishads, meditating on the Supreme Lord, worshipping Him through different authorized processes. No, which means you have to understand him. Just like if we go back to the first verse reflects beginning with Namam Ishwaram. It reflects what is being said in the first part of the last verse. No, because Sanatana Goswami explains that Namami Ishwaram, that first thing I do is offer my obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in the last prayer, he's offering his obeisances first to the, as Srila Prabhupada mentions here, he says, quotes from Lord Shiva speaking to his wife when she asks him, now, what is the best worship? So, aradhananam sarvisham, Vishnu aradhanam param. The best worship is Vishnu. But, no, Tasmat paratanam devi, but even higher than that, tadiyanam samarchanam. Even higher than that is worshipping Krishna's devotee. So here we come. Otherwise, everything we've read up to now in this purport and the first part of this verse that we're considering today and the first part of the last verse of the prayer of Satyavrata Muni leads us up to the point where we worship Krishna, and we worship Krishna's devotee, which is mentioned, begins in the first verse, the second verse, all through the prayer of Satyavrata Muni. We worship Mother Yashoda. No. Actually, it says two times in that prayer, Gopi Gopya, which means that no one can control Krishna like Yashoda Mai or the gopis of Vrindavan. They have perfected the art of controlling Krishna. So we'll discuss that in a couple minutes. So, in the first verse, Sanatana Goswami explains that Namam Ishwaram, he says Ishwaram for three reasons. First, Sarva Shakti Manta. No. That, first of all, Sarva Shakti Manta, that all Shaktis, Parashya Shaktir Vividhai Vashuyate, that all of the Shaktis of Krishna are contained in the Supreme Lord. And first I have to address the Lord as the Supreme so that I can have the ability to glorify Him. Just like we see Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, when they approach the Lord, even when Sridhar, Kolavecha Sridhar, approached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they couldn't speak. The Lord had to touch them on the head, you know, with his kancha, with his hand, and then they could speak. No. Otherwise, they couldn't glorify Krishna. Because this shakti to glorify Krishna comes from Krishna himself. It's not something that you have. Or you could just, you know, memorize some verses and, or you know, make up something. Just like one devotee in 1972, he came to Srila Prabhupada in Mayapur with his guitar. He said, Prabhupada, I made some nice prayers to Krishna. Can I play them for you? He said, you know, being very merciful, Prabhupada said, all right. So he got on his guitar and he sang these verses. So he was waiting for Srila Prabhupada's stamp of approval. He said, so Srila Prabhupada, what do you think? He said, it is a nice sentiment. Nice sentiment. But you should study the prayers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Narottam Das Thakur. Then you will know how to properly glorify Krishna. So otherwise, without following in the footsteps, taking the mercy of the devotee. So the first thing he says, yes, one has to understand the Upanishads, all these things. Understand the Lord is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Jagatekana. Then you have to understand him as the controller of the universe and everything in the universe. Otherwise, it's not that I worship Krishna to have something, but I surrender everything to Krishna. Otherwise, the worship is incomplete. So he's admitting that. Ishwaram, you are the complete. And then Nicha Prabhu, you are my Lord. So in that, with that sentiment, developing, understanding that you're the Lord of everything, you're the controller of all potencies, we see that most prayers that are offered to Krishna have these elements. First, you glorify Krishna in a secondary way. You control, you have all kinds of potencies, you control the three modes of nature, you are the Supreme Lord of everything. This is considered to be secondary glorification. And then Nija Prabhu, you are my Lord. Then it becomes personal. Then the Lord becomes the primary object of worship, not the secondary object of worship. You don't see him through secondary means, through material nature, through the modes of nature, but you see him as the Lord of my heart. So that takes us out of the range of the rope and out of the range of the of what in his belly, within his transcendental spiritual body, is contained everything. Then you come to the platform of worshiping the Supreme Personality of God. So Srila Prabhupada continues here to come to a very important point. He just mentioned Devaki. But here Mother Yashoda performs no upasana. Otherwise, she's not worshipping Krishna. No. Devaki was worshipping Krishna. But Mother Yashoda is not worshipping Krishna. She's gone beyond worship. No. For she has developed transcendental ecstatic love for Krishna. Therefore, her position is better than that of Devaki. In order to show this, Srila Vyasadeva enunciates this verse, Traya Jopadishad Beard, etc. Otherwise, all these things are very important, but don't get stuck here. Don't even get stuck, at the point of worshipping Krishna. But if you really want to join Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan, Gokula Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan, then you have to go beyond worship. That doesn't mean we stop worshiping Krishna. But the worship takes on the form of seeing Krishna in that specific relationship that we have with him. One becomes so absorbed in that relationship that one's worship, one's loving sentiments and feelings for Krishna are the worship in itself. Of course, Rupa Goswami says, as long as we are within a material body, we must worship the Lord. No, we must respect and worship the deity, we must worship the Lord, and we must follow the rules and regulations of devotional service. Otherwise, the material body can bewilder us, just like in the case of Bharat Maharaj. No. Having a material body and not carefully taking care of that body, not by just giving it food and water, but by engaging it in the service of Krishna, it can bewilder us. So then Srila Prabhupada says, when a human being enters into the study of the Vedas to obtain vidya, knowledge, he begins to take part in human civilization. Then he advances further to study the Upanishads and gain Brahma-jnana, impersonal realization of the Absolute Truth. Then he advances still further to Sankhya-yoga in order to understand the Supreme Controller who is indicated in Bhagavad-gita, Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitam Paramam Bhavam Purusham Shashvatam Dibyam. When one understands that Purusha, the Supreme Controller, to be Paramatma, one is engaged in the method of yoga. Jana vastita tad gatina manasa pashanti yam yogina. But Mother Yashoda has surpassed all these stages. She has come to the platform of loving Krishna as her beloved child. And therefore, she is accepted to be on the highest stage of spiritual realization. The Absolute Truth is realized in three features. Brahmatmi paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabdite. But she is in such ecstasy that she does not care to understand what is Brahman, what is Paramatma, or what is Bhagavan. Bhagavan has personally descended to become her loving, her beloved child. Therefore, there is no comparison to Mother Yashoda's good fortune, as declared by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ramyakache dupasana rajabadu vargina yakalpita. The Absolute Truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, may be realized in different stages, as the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 4:11, Yayatamam prapadyante tamstatagu bhajam yaham mamavartmano vartante manushya partam parta sarvashaha. As men surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O Sanapita. One may be a karmi, a jnani, a yogi, and then a bhakta or prema bhakta, but the ultimate stage of realization is prema bhakti, as actually demonstrated by Mother Yashoda. So, at the very end of his prayer, after fully glorifying Mother Yashoda and her ability to control Krishna by tying him with these ropes, by endeavoring so much to please Krishna, then he says, Namo Radhikaya Tadiya Priyaya. Now, he's described... Actually, this particular verse that we just read, that we read today, is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, it is the Paribhava verse of Krishna Lila. This verse is the regulating verse for all of Krishna Lila, which means that if you don't understand that Krishna Lila is beyond all processes, that actually Krishna Lila and the understanding of Krishna Lila can only be fully assimilated by development of prema bhakti. So this verse is the regulator. It helps us understand the differentiation, the marginal line between mechanical service and spontaneous service, between vaidhi bhakti and raganuga bhakti. Which is why I chose this verse, because then he takes it a step further. So if we're going to be talking about prema bhakti, then let me mention. No, now we're talking about prema bhakti. We've firmly established the prema bhakti. How have we established it? By Mother Yashoda's love, and also in the seventh verse, by how Narada Muni, even though he's not situated in Vatsalya Ras, but Narada Muni has also bound Krishna. No. So, if we're going to speak about binding Krishna, let me mention Namo Radhikayai Tvadiya Priyayai. Let me mention Srimati Radharani, who has, no, some we say Damodar Lila, but we say Radha Damodar. So how do we understand Radha Damodar? No. How can Radha be with Damodar? When, up to that point, there were really no really intimate association of Krishna and Radha up to the point of Damodar Lila. He's just a baby. How are they going to have loving exchanges as Radha Damodar? But Radharani, even though she was a very young child, later when she heard about Mother Yashoda's, this particular pastime with Mother Yashoda, she became so overwhelmed and she prayed to the Lord. She prayed to Lord Narayan, because she doesn't pray to Krishna. She prays to Narayana. No. That please allow me to have this bliss. But there's another meaning to that, which I just wanted to again refer to one verse which I forgot the Sanskrit to, but one verse which mentioned here in the second canto, a very famous verse, if I can find it. Anyway. Must be the previous. Yes. It's a verse from the 11th canto, glorifying Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna, and Ram, all three at the same time. So it starts out, Tvaktva Sadushjaja Surepshita Raja Lakshmi. So it means that Krishna, he left the opulence of Mathura to go to Vrindavan, which means his love for Yashoda, for Srimati Radharani, for the gopis, is greater than anything than that for Devaki, that for Vasudev, that for the Yadus. So much greater. So much so that Uddhava said that, actually I think Kamsa has more love for Krishna than I do. Because he was always thinking about Krishna. Whereas we, the Yadus, we think of Krishna very casually whenever we can. No, sometimes we think of Krishna, sometimes we think of my family, sometimes I think of the beautiful gardens here in Dwarka. But, no. Kamsa was always, so what to speak, then he says, what to speak of the residents of Vrindavan? No. So, and then it says, Mayam Rigam Daita Yapshitam Anyava Davat. That, this means that Krishna was just like a play toy in the hands of Srimati Radharani. So Tvadiya Priyayai means that Srimati Radharani is Krishna's most beloved. And Srimati Radharani's most beloved is Krishna. Therefore, because of her worship in the topmost loving devotion, Krishna cannot leave Vrindavan. He can never leave because of her. Otherwise, even because of the gopis, he could have left. This is explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Jiva Goswami. But because of Krishna, he could never, and because of Radha, he could never leave. And therefore, he says at the very end of this prayer, Namo Radhikayai Tvadiya Priyayai Namo Nantalilaya Devaya Tuvyam. No. If I'm going to speak about Leela and the perfection of Leela as shown here by Mother Yashoda's pastime, Mother Yashoda in this pastime, this verse that we just read was the last chapter after Mother Yashoda saw the universal form which is contained in the belly of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And by seeing that, she was brought under the influence of the Upanishads, the Vedas, and all these things which Srila Prabhupada mentioned, what the verse mentions and Srila Prabhupada mentions. But then by Yoga Maya, by remembering her relationship with Krishna, by Krishna's grace, she forgot about all that. And it's stated that even though at this point, in her Leela with Krishna, looking into Krishna's mouth, seeing the universal form, tying up Krishna, even her friends were saying that Krishna must be Narayana. And this was even spoken to her, that Krishna must be Narayana. But she said, well, whatever he is, he's my son. No. Even Jagannath Mishra, one time he had a dream about a Brahmin, and the Brahmin was saying, your son is Narayana. Why are you trying to punish him? And so in the dream he said to the Brahmin, he may be Narayana, but he's still my son, and therefore I have to, have to bring him up properly. No. So, hey, maybe whatever he is, he's my son. No. They don't consider it very important to think that Krishna is God, the Supreme, the Ishvara. Although for us it's very important because we're developing. But once we reach the stage of to be a prema bhakta, then the most important thing is, how can I please Krishna? So this last verse of Damodara Astakam is to reflect that. These wonderful pastimes, meditating on these wonderful pastimes, culminating in Srimati Radharani. Sanatana Goswami says, there's only a slight mention of Radha, because this prayer is meant to be recited by everyone. So not everyone is qualified to understand the most intimate loving affairs between Radha and Krishna. Therefore, it's simply mentioned that when you come to this point of prema, being a prema bhakta, then you can go into this ananda lilaya devaya tuvyam. Then you can go into these unlimited lilas and deeper until you can actually have that understanding which is only hinted at here. Otherwise, you give a hint just like in the movies, no, they, of course I know none of you go to the movies, but for those that might have gone at some point in their life, they have the preview, no, or soap operas, like, you know, the organ comes on, just tune in next week for, to see what happens. So, also, this prayer gives us the hint, here is the highest lila with Radha and Krishna, no, so tune in, no, otherwise keep worshipping Krishna and trying to please Krishna, then you will tune in by His mercy to even deeper and deeper and deeper understanding, anandam buddhivardhanam, has no limit. No. So anyway, these are, we can discuss these verses for endlessly. At least somebody can. I probably can't because I'm not so intelligent. But other devotees can. And but anyway, we'll stop here. I was told this is about the limit. So if there's any questions, of course, anybody that has to leave, I know everybody has service, so, but if anybody has any questions...